Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Film Stage Show, the official podcast of thefilmstage.com. As always, I'm your host, Brian J. Rowan. With us, Amanda Waltz.
Hi, Brian.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, Brian.
We missed you last episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you had Nick.
We did. But,
which is
you know,
nice.
We don't have that good energy like you and I have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Danny King, let's throw some ice on this fire. How are you?
Real good to be here, guys. Real good.
Not awkward at all.
Oh my goodness.
I would love it if people started shipping us.
Shipping us?
Yeah, you know, like when you like two TV characters and so you start like shipping them.
Oh, I didn't know that was a phrase.
You've never heard that phrase?
Yeah,
I've never heard that.
Well, now people can't ship us anymore because I'm very disappointed in you.
Oh.
Yeah, like, you know, there were Mulder and Scully shippers, and there were Kate and Jack shippers. And
oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure the Doctor gets shipped with literally everything in the universe.
Ugh. I will say that, like I was saying before, I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't get to talk about Tomorrowland.
Yes.
And how I thought it was just a very long Disney commercial. and also very kind of had a very weird libertarian bent.
I kind of like that, though. I'm fine with that.
Ooh, man. Yeah, I don't know. It was a little strange. And also I thought...
you would have liked it if every like 12 seconds they had to stop to fill out a form.
It's like, if only the government would let us do...
You can't have a jetpack without you violating civil airspace.
Well, I also thought the lead actress was a little too old to play a teenager.
Oh, well, that's a problem in every movie.
Yeah.
I was
able
to get over that in my head.
Yeah, that goes back to like early silent films, Amanda.
Oh. Oh, sorry, Danny.
Danny's really pulling out the snark today.
Are you trying? Are you trying to bulk against your type?
That goes back to early portraiture. So this.
Oh, shut up!
I mean, even early depictions of the baby Jesus had him more of a small man than an actual baby. I mean, that shit's been going on for generations.
Danny, you're supposed to be the sweetheart in this podcast.
things are changing.
He doesn't want
to
be a sweetheart. Now he wants.
I'm gonna be like the jerk.
I imagine you like leaning against a door frame in a leather jacket with a cigarette hanging out your mouth. Like, hey, ladies.
This wants some insults. King.
Call me Dan.
Call me Dan, I guess.
D King.
All right, maybe.
I guess.
Anyway, that was. Yeah, I just. Well, the weird thing was is that I went to Tomorrowland, and even
you really
though I kind of
went there,
I went there.
You went to Tomorrowland? That's great.
But I went to see the film, and even though I didn't like it, it was actually the most pleasant, relaxed theater experience I ever had because I was sitting in the front row of seats, and it was basically me and just one other woman who was like maybe a couple rows ahead of me, and no one else around us. So I got to like lift up the arm and like put my up and hang out. It's kind of nice.
That's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, don't say that much.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so that's your opinion on Tomorrowland.
Yes.
Let's move forward then. Let me first say that everyone, welcome to the Film Stage Show, and you can obviously follow us on iTunes, give us a comment and a rating. You can also comment on our episode pages at thefilmstage.com. That was actually last week when I introduced everyone. I used specific things that had been said about us from a comment. And that commenter heard it and commented on our Slow West page and said that we called out the comment so hard they were blushing.
Aww.
So, sorry.
Great. That's, one of our favorite listeners, I think.
Lachlan?
Lachlan Cartland.
Aww. Indeed. Which, by the way, why didn't I get anything?
You
I don't
did.
Think
you
did.
Did
I?
Yeah, but you weren't here, so I couldn't call it out as hard to you directly.
You can call me out now.
I don't remember what they said.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Shoot.
This and of course they They went sex from my strong
waltz.
Did you say sex pot?
Okay. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
I'm reaching. Go ahead.
And, yeah.
You just derailed.
I did derail because for some reason you called yourself a sex bot. It's very weird. I will say that Lachlan also said I personally, Brian Rowan, have to admit that I have powerful emotions. And it was a compliment. And yes, I do have powerful emotions. Hopefully everyone at home can handle that.
I will say that I do find it strange that people cannot comment on me without also relating to you. So
that's just how tight we are now.
We're always connected, man.
Ever connected.
Oh.
Adorable. Right.
How about we get back to the results, guys? Maybe we
should... Danny is so pissed off right now.
This is
Amanda,
like
let's keep talking about our chemistry while Danny sits awkwardly off to the side.
With his hands in his lap.
Obviously. Like,
Danny's like the nerd at the makeout party.
just chilling.
There's only three of us. And what kind of a makeout party are we talking about here?
Nursing this nice glass of water.
You should have said whiskey. And
Amanda, I heard it.
Lachlan had said that you were a great counterweight to my to Nick's problematic politics.
So oh, that misogynist.
You've been tied to Nick now too. In addition to Lachlan saying that you and I have great back and forth.
Okay. Cool.
So there you go. I called out both comments now and integrated Amanda into it. Anyway, we've been talking for about 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, let's move on.
We should move on into our review, the only main review we're going to have today, of Results, the newest film by writer-director Andrew Bajalski, who did Computer Chess a couple years ago. This movie stars Kevin Corrigan, Kobe Smulders, and Guy Pearce.
How's that cupcake?
Busted.
I was going to put it in my food log.
Oh, no, look. I truly don't give a shit if you lie to me. But if you lie to yourself, right? Bye-bye.
I started Power for Life because I wanted to give people power for their own lives.
What can we do for you?
I want to be able to take a punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
I like how you led with Kevin Corrigan.
Yeah.
Which you should.
I love Kevin Corrigan.
Yeah, he's great.
All right, so we agree that Kevin Corrigan is great. Let's see what we thought of Results. Danny King.
Yo, what's up?
You've been off to the sidelines for a lot of this podcast, so why don't you jump back into the spotlight and tell us what you thought of Results.
Happy.
Actually, wait, before we do that, sorry that I
should
just
fucked
you over.
Should we play the trailer?
Well, yeah. I'm assuming I already put the trailer in. I will say that to anyone out there who doesn't know, Results is the story of an independently wealthy man who begins a personal training regimen and the way that he affects both his personal trainer and the owner of the gym. It's Danny King. What were your thoughts on Results?
I thought Results was a delight, if I may be so bold.
You may. I will allow it.
You're allowed.
Yeah, it's an interesting step for Bajalski to make. I've seen two of his previous films, one of them, Mutual Appreciation, is sort of your prototypical, like, quote-unquote mumblecore movie about post-grads in New York City struggling to find work, navigating their personal relationships and whatnot. The other one I've seen is Computer Chess, which was itself sort of a weird departure for him. Shot on like retrograde video, I think. And it's about a chess tournament. So he seems to be continuing to surprise with each new film. And this one, obviously, is his first movie working with professional actors. And I think he gets really good, wait for it, results out of them. Yes, for me, like, so much of this movie is enjoying how loose
the actors are. Kevin Corrigan has moments where it seems like he's just doing whatever he wants in front of the camera. And it's just consistently hilarious. But I also think there's sort of, I mean, at the end of the day, the movie is sort of a charming romantic comedy, but there are interesting moments of kind of anger and sadness. It speaks to like how weird Bujalski's sensibilities are, that some of the saddest moments and results are when Guy Pearce is playing his drum set just by himself.
Talking to his dog.
Yeah, which is just like, it's a hilarious image, but it's sort of like undercut by this loneliness. And then also Kobe Smulders, who I think gives a really good performance. Her character has this sort of anger that is hinted at right away, where you see her jogging and she starts following this car. And Bujalski is sort of vague about the setup, like, so you don't know who she's really running after. And it turns out to be a client that is behind on payments. And obviously it's a reasonable thing to want to get paid for your work, but the way she goes about it, it's clearly establishing some kind of high strung quality to her personality. But yeah, mainly this movie is just about the actors. And one thing I like about movies like this and mumblecore movies in general, not to like rely on that phrase, but I think you know what kind of movies I'm talking about, like Joe Swanberg or...
Yeah.
One thing I like about these movies is like you really feel like you're getting a lot of the personality of the actor, the person, themselves. So for instance, when Kobe Smulders is playing a scene where she's playing, you know, this working class gym trainer, and she's playing a scene where she's getting high with Kevin Corrigan and flirting with him, there's a sense that like she, as an actress, it seems like she has very little to fall back on in a scene like that other than how she herself would react. And so I think there's like an honesty to working with actors in this way, where you just sort of are getting a direct kind of look at their personalities. Same thing with like Guy Pearce. There's a moment when he's in his car and he's calling Kobe Smulders, and he sort of wants to see her, so he makes a kind of ridiculous plea for her to come drive and meet him. And the way he sort of like grimaces his face when he asks her is kind of a really honest moment. So that's sort of one of the main things I get out of movies like this, is just sort of the everyday rhythms and gestures that you don't really find in more kind of, I don't know, more straightforward comedies.
Okay. Amanda Waltz, what did you think?
I actually went into this film not really knowing that much about it. I actually didn't know Kevin Corrigan was in it until it opened on him. Outside of his character's name is
Danny.
Danny. That's right. It's Danny.
Now we know why Danny liked this movie.
Brilliant character.
Gotta rep the Dannys.
Probably the best written character I've seen in years.
But it opens on him outside of his ex-wife's, I'm guessing just this apartment that she's living in now, and sort of begging her to take him back. And then it's this very like cold open, and then you see him in this rented McMansion. And you know, it's a really like, it's one of those films where I like it, but I think the whole like mumblecore, I've never really been a fan of mumblecore. And I remember I saw Funny Haha when it first came out, and I really hated it. And then
we should say that that's another movie by this director.
But yeah. But I saw Computer Chess and I loved it. So it's just one of those things where I think Bujalski's trying to separate himself from the mumblecore movement, which is a movement that he sort of inadvertently helped create. And I think he kind of despises that term as well. And it seems like when I was looking up reviews of this film, a lot of people are still relating this movie to the mumblecore movement.
That is crazy, because at no point during this film did I feel like it was mumblecore.
No, I think it's one of those things where you can separate a film from this. I don't know. It's just like there can be elements of a movement in a film without it actually being, you know, from that movement. I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things where I can only imagine Bajalski like reading these reviews and just getting so frustrated with, you know, oh, I'm just going to be pigeonholed into this monster that I created for like the rest of my life. But, you know, and I really don't feel like this is a very clearly plotted film. It's not just, I feel like a lot of, I think when I think of mumblecore, I think it's sort of like aimless. You know, there might be a very, like a hint of a plot, but it's really just these people who are just, you know, just sort of talking. And, right. You know, and it's, there's, here it's like, you know, there's a love triangle between Danny, Trevor Guy Pierce's character, and Colby Smulders' character, Kat. And I think it works really well. I actually thought the film lost steam in the final act because Danny pretty much, like, wasn't a part of it. And I think without him just having Kat and just having Kat and Trevor interact was a little like, eh. Because Guy Pearce, I mean, Colby Smulders is a great comedic actress. Guy Pearce, not so much. So I don't think that worked as well. But I thought overall the film was enjoyable. What did you say one time, Brian? Delightful trifle? I can't remember what movie you related that to, but
I mean, it could apply to so many.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's definitely like a nice film. It's
definitely a delightful trifle.
Yeah, it is. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, I think that there's a few ideas that it presents, like the idea of, no matter what, we have these things that we depend on, like, I wouldn't say addictions, but in order to deal with our problems, like, okay, maybe if it's not like Danny, he's very frank. He's a very, very frank character, where I think at one point Kat goes to his house to give him a private session, and she has him do a food diary, which is basically just him sending her, like these food porn selfies of like pizza.
Right. So funny.
It's really, really funny because I don't think he understands it. I think he even takes a picture of himself eating.
Yeah, the first one he sends is him biting into the pizza.
So, and she says, oh, you know, I'm really glad you were so honest about what you're eating. And she's like, is there maybe a reason why you were eating the pizza? Like the whole pizza.
I mean, it looked like a damn good pizza. So.
Oh man, it really did look good. But
I haven't eaten dinner yet.
But he says, you know, and he says it's because I was bored and I was depressed, and then that kind of, I think that almost sort of like takes her aback, because I don't think she's like used to that kind of like straightforwardness. But you know,
and then they have one pretty intense conversation where she talks about how she saw a shrink.
Yeah.
And they talk about that.
Like you can tell she's kind of skirting the issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she has, because he even says, he's like, it's very obvious that we're both depressed at one point in the film. But the way he deals with it is, of course, he eats his emotions and she just locks her car and goes for like 20 mile runs.
Yeah.
Wherever she happens to be.
Which in Texas is like, because she runs, like, she'll have an awkward moment and then she'll just go and act like she's going to leave and then locks her car and runs. And I'm like, there is no telling how far away she's. of course, in Austin. Austin's a pretty, because this is set in Austin.
Yeah.
So it could be like maybe a smaller distance. But yeah, it is just kind of interesting how it just says, like, it doesn't, like, no matter what it is, this is how we deal with sort of our emotions, our lack of like expressing our inability to express ourselves. And I think there's even like parallels between Danny and Trevor, where Danny's like grooving on his midlife crisis guitar and Trevor's grooving on his like midlife crisis drums and like in the middle of the night because they can't sleep. And yeah, I mean, it's just one of those movies where there's like some, it's an okay movie. I don't think it's breaking any new ground, but I think it's really, I think it's more like for Bujalski. I think it's more of kind of like an experiment for him. Like you said, working with big actors, it's just something he's never really done before. And, you know, I think he does really well. I think he does get, like you said, Danny, I think he gets the best out of his actors. I think there's like honest performances all around. I think Kevin Corrigan is great in this film. Like, I think he's very essential to it. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay. But it definitely loses steam in the third act. So
up front, allow me to say that I thought we were watching a different movie. Which is to say, I saw that Kobe Smulders was in this, and I assumed that it was Unexpected. I now know that the movie is called. Which is...
Okay.
So I was just like, I settled in. I'm like, I think this is the one where she's pregnant. And it definitely wasn't. So that was a mental adjustment I had to make.
She's quite the opposite of pregnant.
Right. Yeah, no, she's very fit. And I would say that going for 20-mile runs in the Texas heat is a great way to destroy a pregnancy if you happen to have one. So I was confused at first, but I love Guy Pearce. I love Kevin Corrigan. There are a number of other people in this movie who I enjoy. Giovanni Ribisi shows up.
My God.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. Ribisi is insane.
Ribisi is at his most Ribisi, I think, in this movie.
Is he wearing a bald cap?
Either that or they shaved his head a little bit.
It looks weird.
It looked really weird. It looked insane.
But in a good way.
Weird. We also have Anthony Michael Hall, like I said, as like a German kettlebell guru.
And, I thought he was Russian.
Was he Russian?
Maybe.
It's possible. I don't know. Vaguely Eastern European.
Yes.
And then Constance Zimmer, who is a real estate agent. And yeah, it was interesting to see all these people together because I like all of them. And yet the movie I was just sort of lukewarm about. Part of that may be because I just wasn't ready for it or knew what to expect. You could say that this movie was unexpected, but it's not. It's actually results. And I just... I'm glad that you enjoyed that so much. And so yeah, it was weird because I guess I couldn't figure out what the hell the movie was about for the longest time, because it doesn't seem like it's about all three characters equally. So first I thought it was about Kevin Corrigan's character Danny wanting to like get his life back on track. Then I thought it would be about maybe his romance with Kat, and then Trevor became more of a character. And I thought maybe, I couldn't figure out who was supposed to be helping who. It's definitely a movie that has a feeling like one of these people is the magical people that will help the other people feel better. But everyone trades that role so frequently that it becomes difficult to know whose eyes I'm supposed to be experiencing things through in any given moment.
Mm.
And there's not enough like egalitarian tonality to get me to accept the fact that it really is a three-person character piece. So that was tough for me personally. And there's the other problem, which again is probably just something that I was feeling, but I legitimately felt that at any point Guy Pearce's character Trevor could snap and kill everyone.
Whoa, I did not feel that way.
Because he has created this thing. I will explain. He has created this gym, Power 4 Life, the number 4. And it's a mind, body, spirit, and...
It's like holistic. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's constantly talking about, you know, you have to nourish all the thing. Like, every part of you needs to be nourished for every part's other work well. And, you know, even when he and Danny get in a fight early on in the movie... He's like, I hope that even if you leave our gym, you still keep this up. Like, he's such a true believer in what he's doing that I felt like, oh God, if any of these people threaten his dream too much, he might kill them.
Well, there's even that scene where he pitches, after, like you said, after he has that fight with Danny, he's still trying to pitch him through the door.
Right.
Like, it's so strange.
And it's like he's not even pitching for himself, but like he just doesn't want Danny to give up on Danny.
On his goals.
Right. So it was, and like as the movie goes on, the stakes for him as a business owner and a man who believes in this thing that he's doing as an almost religious experience get higher. And I just kept feeling like, oh God, he's going to kill someone. And I don't know why that is, but it was a feeling that I 100% couldn't shake. This like,
what if he killed someone and was like, that's some results for you, and then cut to black.
Wasn't that unexpected?
oh my God.
No. Even it,
to be fair, he does have those hallucinations or fantasies.
Those are interesting.
Like,
yeah.
And that was the thing. I was like, this guy, like, he's already created this world in his head. And if, I mean, I've seen the voices. I know what happens when a person has to face the bleak reality after living in a fantasy world. And it's not often great.
His life doesn't seem that bleak, though.
It's not. That's what I'm saying. But, like, there's a point specifically where he sits down on the couch, and this is after he's decided he's really going to go for this expansion for his gym. And he says something along the lines of, it's something like The Secret. Like, I've put it out in the universe, and now it's coming back to me.
He's
aligned himself with someone who seems rather unstable. And I'm just like, something terrible is going to happen. And he's either going to kill himself or someone else. And I love Guy Pearce, and I'm used to him doing unexpected things, but I don't think I was supposed to have that fear, so I don't know if it's just something that I pulled into it.
No, I think I agree with everything you said, just not the leap that he's going to kill someone. Right. Like, that's just not the tone of the movie. I think he is intentionally supposed to be fanatic.
Yeah, he's very... I wouldn't even say he's that intense. I don't know.
Not.
Like,
he's not really. He seems like a swell guy. And
yeah,
he really
believes
nice in what he's doing. And, like, you know, he has a very good reason to hate Danny at some point, but he's still concerned about this poor guy who's obviously going through some stuff. And it's like, yeah, he's a sweet guy, but there's just something like, I just was so upset at the thought of things not working out for Trevor that I began seeing all these terrible things that could happen if they didn't.
Man, you are emotional, Brian.
I'm totally emotional.
Roller coaster.
I mean, yeah. But imagine if that had happened. What kind of movie this would be then?
I think that would seriously, that would have come out of left field, like the leftist field. I could imagine, like
that would have
been
an unexpected result.
Shut up, asshole. Yeah.
Wow, what a dick.
Sorry. Anyway, this is just the kind of magic that was missing from the last podcast.
Oh my God.
Oh, you don't get this with Nick.
No. He would have just remained silent for 30 seconds and then just kept talking about something else. If I had told him my conspiracy theory that Guy Pearce was supposed to kill Kevin Corrigan during this movie.
Oh my God. Which, by the way, I loved going back to, I think this film, I don't know. There's some very strange style choices as well. There are a lot of wipes in this movie.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't really sure. And there's even like these really strange like split screens. It's very like, I don't know. It reminded me of almost like a 70s suspense thriller kind of. I don't know. There's just like these really weird choices. And then there's I really actually liked his kind of take on the workout montage.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of clever where it's Trevor training Danny. And it's not, and oh my God, that scene where Danny is running with that cat, where he has the cat on the leash, which that cat is yet another addition to the many delightful movie pets that have come out in the last couple years. Like right in line with, I think the cat's name was Musaka and A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. And
I missed that one.
Oh my God.
What was the one from from Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was that cat's name?
Was it Ulysses or Homer? I think it was Ulysses.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that cat was the one that set that whole trend off.
I was going to say the year of the two dogs, there was Arthur from Beginners and the dog from The Artist.
And then it just exploded into White God.
Very true.
Which I saw and loved, by the way.
Oh, I still have to see it. I really want to.
Yeah, I insisted on seeing it in the theater, and I saw it like the last night it was playing here. It's pretty great. But
well,
yeah,
as you know, I always base my opinions on movies off of what you say. So
I know, Brian. You go on my Letterbox every day just
pretty
to
much.
See what's going on.
I just like to keep tabs and know what you're up to.
Oh,
it helps me feel connected to you. If I know that we've watched the same movie within a week.
It's like, ooh, she watched. What did I do? Anyway, I'm not going to get off. I'm not going to get off track.
Yes. But yeah, in general, I'll say that I enjoyed the movie, but it was just hard to really feel invested in it as much as I think I would have liked to.
Yeah, the performances, it really does hinge on the performances and the magical pairing of, like, everybody's been asking, when is Guy Pearce and Giovanni Ribisi gonna have that scene together eating tacos,
which was amazing.
Oh, that scene where he meets Ribisi in the bar is so funny.
Oh my god, Ribisi's so weird. Yeah, when he walks up to him and asks him if he can buy weed.
Yeah.
And I don't know, does he have an accent? He's got some sort of weird accent.
He's doing a full-on Ribisi. I mean, like, have you ever seen that stupid friggin' movie, Basic, with John Travolta?
I saw
The Other
seen.
Sister?
No.
Oh, no.
It's like a stupid Rashomon-esque, like, thriller, and Giovanni Ribisi's in it, and he's doing a voice that is the most insane thing I've ever heard anyone do in a movie. And there's, like, no justification for it.
He's almost like a lesser Daniel Day-Lewis in that sense.
I was going to say Nicolas Cage.
Oh, no. Nicolas Cage doesn't. When he does accents, it's like, why is he doing that accent? Whereas when Giovanni Ribisi does an accent, it's like, what accent is that? I don't know. But he's such a surprising... And one of the things, too, I think stylistically about this movie, and this might kind of fall into Bajalski's style in general, is that there's almost a sense of, like, anti-composition. Because there are a lot of moments where it just seems like there's nothing in the frame. There's just nothing going on. And, I mean, and even, like, Danny lives in this, like, empty, rented mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's suddenly, as he says at one point in the film, that he suddenly came into this fortune because after his mother died, and so he doesn't really know what to do with it, so he just, like, rented this mansion, but there's, like, he doesn't have anything to put in it, and so there's really, like, nothing to put in the frame. There are these scenes of there's this scene of, like, Guy Pearce, like, sitting in a, like, weird chaise lounge. I think it's a chaise. I don't know what it is.
It looks like. I think it might be.
Yeah, but there's, like, nothing else in the scene.
Yeah,
it's
I really like that idea of, like, the empty house.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm spending money on this because I have money that I can spend on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you feel like they could have done a little more with the emptiness of the house. There's only, like, one scene that really takes advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his first meeting with Kat.
Oh, yeah, where he's sitting on the couch that's still covered in plastic.
Yeah, and I did love the motif of him just going on Craigslist and offering money to people for random shit. Like, I'll give you $20 if you can make my TV work.
It was like 200.
Oh, was it 200?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then there was, I want a cat. I'll pay $200 for a, like, healthy feline.
So funny.
It was just like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
But yeah, to go back to an earlier thing about the sort of weird structure where you, like, don't really know who the main character was. That's sort of something, like, everyone... I saw this movie with, like, 3 or 4 friends, and I know one of them came out of it, and he's like, the movie's like 100 minutes, and he's like, I thought that movie was like 2 hours and 10 minutes, just because...
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, because like the third act does have this like rom-com kind of like delaying the ending, where... You know, one of my friends said he thought the movie was going to end like three different times, but it just kept going. But it's weird too, because at the same time it is like tightly structured and even almost classical in this sense of like the mixture of like work and love. Sort of like if you think of like His Girl Friday or something, where the guy and the girl can't get together until they kind of agree to work together. That kind of idea. So I sort of liked the third act once I understood that it had like shifted to that mode. But it is definitely like the opening matching of like Kevin Corrigan playing a millionaire in an empty Texas mansion is just so, it's like comic gold. I mean, and I'm trying to like just remember some of his gestures, but like when he first comes into the office and Guy Pearce is like, what's your goal? And he's like, I just want to be able to take a punch.
Yeah.
And I actually think Guy Pearce's comic timing in that first scene is really sharp. Just he has to like modulate his reactions because he doesn't want to like lose this client, but he's also like, this guy's clearly insane. And so
it made me wonder if they rehearsed at all, if they even knew, because I know that
no one got anyone else's lines. Just like, you'll know when you have to say something.
They were all redacted. Like you just went through, just like blacked out lines. It made me wonder a little bit because they do seem genuinely like I said before, like taken aback by some of the stuff, like especially from Danny. And then there's that scene where I think with Anthony Michael Hall and I think Brooklyn Decker plays his wife.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's that weird where it's like Anthony Michael Hall and Brooklyn Decker are married and they're watching Kat and Trevor interact, and they're having these really awkward sort of like very tense kind of fight. Like not really a fight, but it's just obvious that they're like having this like heated discussion about their past because they had been romantically involved. And at one point, Anthony, I think Brooklyn Decker's like, you guys talk like you're married. And Anthony Michael Hall just says, yes, it's very terrible. Or something.
Weird scene. What a weird thing to even have in this movie.
Yeah. It's Anthony very Michael weird.
Hall and Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things where they seem to be reacting very naturally.
Yeah. It's true.
It's so true.
I will say before we get into spoilers, I did like the music for this movie.
Oh, it made me I realized that there's that scene where she's running and she has her workout mix playing and I realized, and she has Rai Rai. And I was like, oh, wait, I listen to Rai Rai when I work out. The exact same Rai Rai song. Except mine is like the girl talk version. But yeah, I like that.
I was talking more about like the jazzy kind of background music. But
oh, when he gets that jazz trio.
I was, okay. You're talking a lot of diegetic music.
Yes.
I mean the non-diegetic score. Though I did like that jazz trio, and I will be looking them up.
Was there a soundtrack?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Man, what I did not mean? Even...
Okay. Anyway, so... Danny, any final thoughts before we get into spoilers?
Check it out, you know?
Okay.
Check it out, man.
So, spoilers for results. Guy Pearce and Kobe Smulders get together at the end. It looks like his gym is going to be fine. And they're friends with Danny once more. And Danny went to a sorority house where the door was just open and asked some of the girls to come over and party, and they do. And they dance all over the ending credits.
It's nice.
It was funny. There was...
What the fuck?
The...
It is. It's nice.
Is it?
I think it's kind of nice. It's like everybody's cool. Look how cool everybody is with one another.
A lot of older gentlemen ending up with much younger women.
Eh. But Colby Smulders, Kat was the one who said, "Hey, dude, a lot of women are into like just guys with money just walk into a sorority and say I have money." And that's what he does.
Literally his first line, "I'm a multimillionaire."
Yeah, yeah, and she says, like, go do that.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I don't think it's a slight on anybody. It's just like, hey, that's cool. Whatever.
And he's not a bad guy.
No, he's not.
What is his fucking deal, though? Like, what is wrong with this guy?
He's Kevin Corrigan. That's his fucking deal.
Oh, there's actually that scene with the ex-wife is really intense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
So, yeah, I there's some, like, this goes back to what I was saying before, but like there's something like dark underneath each character. There's like a dark impulse.
Right. Kobe Smulders is like a rageaholic.
Yeah.
Guy Pierce is very driven by the hallucinations of grandeur that he has. And Kevin Corrigan might be on the spectrum.
Yeah, not Danny. Kevin Corrigan.
Oh, I mean, like the things he does throughout the movie, sort of the biggest knock against him is just the way that his ex-wife reacts to him. I thought that was just like,
well, it almost makes me think that he must have, he got out of this very like maybe codependent relationship where maybe it was like maybe borderline, not physically abusive, but maybe just like mentally and verbally abusive. And maybe that's why he's kind of, because I mean, that woman is, like you said, very intense.
Yeah.
But so is he.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then he gets punched in the stomach by a homeless man.
That was so weird. I don't know.
Bizarre.
I thought that was a weird way to bring everything full circle with the whole punching.
He took a punch, but not to the face.
Yeah, to the stomach. From a very, very disturbed man in the park.
Which is where, you know, we all know disturbed men go.
In Austin, Parks. Probably.
Oh, that was in New York.
That was in New York.
Oh, that part was in New York?
It was a little confusing because he was going to New York. Like, everyone was taking a trip all at once, and you kind of just assume they're all in the same place. But no, he is in New York, and Guy Pearce is in somewhere else that's like,
he's in Texas still.
He's still in Texas. Yeah. But it's like 7 hours away from Austin. Which could be Houston. No, that's not right.
No, I don't know. Well, you forgot to mention too that Danny has become a business partner with,
I was keeping that for the spoiler section because
we're in the spoiler section.
I know.
Dude.
When did you want me to say it? I really wanted to talk about the dancing ending because it just seemed weird to me.
Yeah, yeah. I have a comment about the dancing ending.
Oh, well, sorry, Danny, go ahead.
If I could just really chime this in. There's a funny thing with the way he words the characters in the closing credits. It's, if I remember correctly, he'll have, for like minor characters, he'll have a name
and like
comma
what they were doing.
Yeah. So I think
note of that as well.
The last one is like something like sad girl at keg. And so I was just like waiting to see her. And I think she's either the last or the second to last image where you just, this girl in the corner, like keep refilling her cup.
Which he buys a keg for this multimillionaire sorority party.
Yeah. So which doesn't even seem, I guess the house is big, but it seemed like there were like 12 people there. Or like,
yeah. And like Giovanni Ribisi is dancing with someone and like Trevor and Kat are dancing together.
Yeah.
They're having a very tender moment, but everyone else is just kind of like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. It's I don't know.
Weird.
I think, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, it was just weird. It was weird. But yes, they were business partners at this point, Danny and Trevor.
Well, yeah, because Danny buys into the business, I think, to be close, to try to get close to Kat, but then Kat quits.
I think he's lonely and like he realizes that Trevor might be like an actual friend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's hard to tell. I know that he wants someone in his life, and I don't know if he's picky at that point.
I mean, I would want Guy Pearce in my life.
Fuck yeah, I'd hang out with Guy Pearce all the time and just ask him to continuously recreate scenes from Lockout with me.
Okay.
I love Lockout.
All right. Well,
have you seen Lockout?
That's funny.
Everyone here has seen Lockout, right?
No, I still got to see it.
Oh my God. That's going to be our next episode.
Lockout?
Everyone, yeah, Lockout.
Is it a film?
I don't know if it's good, but I love it.
No, he said, is it a new film?
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah. It's from a couple years ago.
That's going to be our next podcast.
Yep, we're going to throw over Jurassic World. We're going to talk about Lockout.
I'm actually okay with that.
Oh, are we talking about Jurassic World?
Yes.
Okay.
the fuck?
I just have to mentally prepare myself.
Oh, yes. Yes, you should. Well, actually, we went to see Spy, my fiance and I, and they had a D-motion simulator in the lobby where you could sit. Do you know what D-motion is?
Yeah, it's like the seats that move.
It's like virtual reality seats, yeah, in a movie theater. And so they had two of them, and you would watch the Jurassic World trailer with the D-motion seats. And I will say, I would probably, the only way I want to watch Jurassic World is with the D-motion seats.
We'll do it.
I think I'm going to. I think I'm going to.
You can tell us what it's like.
Yeah.
I'm going to fork over the extra $10. I don't know.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't care. Whatever. And it's going to be in 3D.
Hey, you know, you fork over 10 there. Maybe the next day you save 10. You know, comes full circle.
You never know.
Maybe the next day you skip the morning bagel, and then there's no problems.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Exactly, Danny. But yeah,
Any other life advice? Just ask.
Okay, Dan. Thank you. he invests in Danny invests in Trevor's new gym, and then when there's like this really weird scene where he and Chief Runner Ribisi's character, who, what is his name, by the way?
Paul.
Couldn't tell you.
The guy in hats?
Paul. Paul. Okay.
Paul the Hat Man.
That's how he appeared in the credits.
Who's apparently a corporate lawyer.
Yeah, that's what he claims. And apparently he is, because he does drop the paperwork.
Yes. He's like this weird, almost like Hunter S. Thompson type character. It's really strange. But then Trevor admits that he
holy
is
shit.
Love.
I just looked at the the trivia on IMDb.
Okay.
You know how we kept saying all that shit about Kobe Smulders being the opposite of pregnant?
Yes.
Kobe Smulders was 5 months pregnant during filming.
What? How?
I don't know.
Where is that baby? In her butt?
Jesus.
Where is it? How is she 5 months pregnant? That's insane.
I don't
That's
know
crazy.
What to tell you.
Because you are showing when you're 5 months pregnant.
You should be.
That's crazy. Okay. Wow. This is why I'll never get pregnant, because I will, like, I'll be 5 months pregnant and I will be like a manatee. It's just like,
you
what?
You won't be keeping it Kobe tight?
No, absolutely not. I will have stretch marks from here to eternity. Like, meanwhile, she's like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Anyway.
Yes. I just thought I should bring that up.
That is crazy. Oh, sorry. Since I said butt earlier, the whole knock a wall down with my butt joke in this movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Which actually I thought was interesting, because it kind of points out that, like, even though they find Danny's character kind of off-putting, he kind of points out how strange a lot of the stuff that they say is. Like, you want me to knock a wall down with my butt? Okay.
I was also waiting for the scene where someone actually knocked a wall down with their butt.
I know, he gets punched. Somebody needed to knock a wall down with their butt.
Like, there's a scene where Kobe Smulders is working at, like, a soul-sucking office job and starts doing a stretch against a wall. And I was like, if she knocks that wall down with her butt,
well,
I'm gonna flip the fuck out.
That's definitely, like, a renovated industrial space.
Yeah.
Like, oh, exposed brick and steel beams. Sorry.
You should be used to that in Pittsburgh, right?
Kind of, actually, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting how it became like Danny gave his share, because it's a 50% share in the company, to Kat in order to get Kat and
Trevor together. Right, because it's like I said, that was one of the things where I was like, who is helping who here?
Yeah.
Like, when did Danny become so chill about things? Because he was like Googling Kat because he was slightly obsessed with her.
Again, he openly admits, I Google her all the time.
Right, and I think that's one of the things that puts people off about him is just his, like, blunt honesty about shit, which is, like, a little spectrum-y, I guess.
Yeah. Are we allowed to say on the spectrum?
I don't know. I hate calling every weird character in a movie autistic.
Yeah.
But sometimes it really just comes off that way.
Yeah.
And a lot of, let's be fair, things use that as a really cheap shorthand for stuff.
Yeah. But it is kind of like
socially maladjusted.
Socially awkward?
Awkward.
Just say awkward.
Socially maladjusted.
He's awkward.
He is awkward. and it works, I guess, so that helps.
Yeah. But after, I just felt like after he did that and Kat chases Trevor down, I don't know. Just the whole, like, talky-talky-talk-talk between them was just so... I don't know. It was a little much for me.
Yeah, and then they have that scene in the restaurant where, like, his egg whites only were a substitution.
Oof.
As a waiter, there was a time when someone got an entree that came with two sides, and he only wanted one side. And I was like, I can get you double of that side? He's like, no, just one is fine. I was like, I can literally get you anything else. And he's like, no, it's fine. And then when the check came, he's like, how come you charged me full price?
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah. That annoyed the shit out of me, honestly. And, yeah, it was dumb.
Well, and she even says, I work in the service industry. So she's kind of saying, you know, I work this, like, thankless job, but then she totally gives shit to a waitress.
Well, let's be honest, she chases down a woman's car to demand money from her.
Yeah.
Like, she's got some issues.
Yeah. A little bit.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, and it is, I thought that was kind of a nice comment on how, I don't want to say, like,
complimentary?
What, the...
Trevor and Kat are complimentary?
Because Trevor's so zen.
Yeah, and she's, like, she's the one who's gonna, like, stress out about shit and keep stuff together.
She's the one who's going to kill someone, Brian.
Possibly. Because, I mean, like, he loses the check from Danny, and she's like, if you just, like, actually put it in the bank, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, why was he waiting so long?
I don't know, because he's zen. He doesn't give a shit.
I don't care. Yeah, man. It's all the four whatevers. Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual.
Damn right.
It's like 4-H.
Damn, yeah, exactly.
A gym. But
Danny, any final thoughts on this movie before we pack it up? Before we go into our cool down, if you will?
Yeah, I'd be down to cool down.
Okay, but no final thoughts on this film before we get there?
I liked some of the scenes that you guys didn't like, so it's just all subjective, you know?
It is. It's 100% subjective.
We're different people, and...
Different people are coming from different places.
You know, not to get too philosophical here, but
Danny, you're such a sweetheart.
all takes are welcome.
Fantastic. Well, actually, I was looking at it, and we talked about Blu-rays on the last episode.
Let's do it.
But I mean, like, because we recorded the last episode so late in the week. So it's like The Kingsman is like the only new film coming out.
Can we talk about stuff that we saw?
Yeah, so I was going to say, let's swap it out. Instead of Blu-rays, we'll talk about something that we've watched on our own. So, Amanda, why don't you kick us off?
I watched Spy yesterday.
How was that?
It was good. It was quite funny. I wouldn't say it was brilliant by any means. I kind of like the way it played on Melissa McCarthy is basically... like those quirky characters from CSI type shows, mm-hmm. Where she's just like stuck in this she calls it the basement, like the CIA basement, and she has to give all these instructions to, like, Jude Law plays like the spy that she's kind of connected with. But it was, I liked it. I thought it was really funny. Jason Statham is actually quite hilarious.
Yeah, I want to see his performance.
He and Melissa McCarthy have some really amazing chemistry. It's really unexpected, but everybody's good. I mean, I kind of like the way they have, so Melissa McCarthy, it's definitely not the whole, like, man who knew too little, where it's like, oh, she's like, stuff just works out for her just by, like, coincidence. She's actually, like, an amazing spy, like, you find out, but she's just been sort of, like, stuck in this, like, CIA basement and not allowed to use any of her skills. And then when she actually does, it's like, wow, she's kind of great. So I kind of liked that aspect of it. You know, I thought Paul Feig did a great job. I think he wrote and directed it. So yeah, it's definitely a fun summer movie. I would recommend it. There's some pretty great, hilarious sequences in it. So
it's a pretty lazy title, though.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, ooh, this movie's about a spy. What should we call it?
Spy.
Spy.
Yeah.
All right, Danny King, what did you watch?
I watched a movie called Polytechnique, which is by Denis Villeneuve.
Oh, okay.
It was made before Incendies, but I think it came to theaters after.
So it's kind of like Prisoners and Enemy.
Yeah,
can't this guy just release his fucking movies after he shoots them like a normal person?
He's his own. He carves his own path.
Apparently.
But it was interesting because I woke up the other day at like 6 a.m. So I couldn't really sleep, and so I went to put this on, and I didn't know what it was about. So I checked the plot synopsis, and it's about a massacre that occurred at a Montreal school in 1989, where a guy, it was an engineering school, and a guy wrote like an anti-feminist manifesto and then killed like a dozen women.
Damn.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know if I'm up for this at 6 a.m.
A little bit like Elephant.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I see it now.
And so, but I watched it, and it's black and white, and it's very beautiful. And it's interesting, the narrative structure. It begins like with these two girls making copies at a copying machine, and then one of them gets shot, and then it kind of flashes back to the killer on the day of, as he's writing his note and sort of eating breakfast, things like that. Then it sort of shows various students on the day of, and then it shows the shooting. But what really makes it most interesting is it follows two characters after the shooting in very, very oblique ways. So one guy who survives, it shows him going to see his mother. And none of them really mention the shooting. So it's like very vague how long it is after the shooting has occurred. And the same thing with the girl that Villeneuve follows. So it's an interesting narrative structure, and it's visually beautiful, but very tough to watch at times, but good movie.
Hmm.
All right. Something to look out for. I saw a movie called Liberal Arts, which is on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
And it stars Josh Radnor, who is also from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As is Kobe Smulders. So, interesting crossover there. I wasn't even thinking about that. It's also written and directed by Radnor, and co-stars Elizabeth Olsen. And it's about a 30-something like application or admissions counselor at like a school in New York who goes back to his alma mater to watch one of his favorite teachers receive an achievement award, and ends up falling in and possibly falling in love with a student there. It was interesting. It was fun. A lot of smart people talking about smart things, and It's the kind of movie that I can get behind. I'm not sure I like the ending, but I understand where it comes from emotionally for the characters, so I can get over that. Richard Jenkins is in it, and I love him.
Mm.
And Zac Efron has a really strange small role in it as a stoner, and he's pretty funny. And then, oddly enough, I just watched him in Neighbors a couple days ago, and this guy has some comedic skills.
Yeah, he's a talented young man.
Yes, so I'm definitely looking forward to whatever he does next. Though I will not be watching That Awkward Moment. Is he in that, or is that someone
actually,
else?
Actually, it's funny you say that because I was flipping channels the other day and I stopped on HBO and that was on, and it was the scene where Zac Efron's at a party and this girl's like, "What are you wearing?" It's like a costume party, and he's like, "Oh, it's like rock out with my cock out," and I guess he has on a fake dick just like hanging out of his pants.
What?
I don't know. It's so like it was so out of context that I'm like, was this is this character supposed to be charming? What's going on? But it's this girl just absolutely, like, justifiably so, just absolutely disgusted with him, and he's like, "Oh, this is probably a bad idea." And I'm like, "What is this terrible movie?" Like,
okay.
So yeah.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, you can look. There's a reason why you probably shouldn't watch Awkward Moments.
Yes, but Neighbors and Liberal Arts are both good. You should check them out.
Can I say I also saw Blue Velvet for the first time?
Oh,
for
the first time.
For the first time. What
the fuck have you been waiting for?
I don't know. I really don't. Oh, so yeah, I saw it for the first time, and I've obviously seen other David Lynch movies, but. Yeah, I don't know why I waited so long, and it is strange. As I was watching it, I realized like how much David Lynch and John Waters have in common in terms of how they're trying to sort of play on like the 1950s melodrama, and I don't know. It just made me realize like how much he does that with this movie. But yeah, I of course loved it. I mean, Dennis Hopper is fantastic in it. Just completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for bringing this unknown trifle to our view.
Hey, man, we all have blind spots, you know?
This is true.
Hey, guys, it's streaming, I think, on Netflix. You should check it out.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Yeah, it's pretty... He also did this TV show, Twin Peaks. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, they're
That's
trying...
That's that bar
trying...
where all the bikers got shot, right?
Oh, no. It's also a band. I think maybe the television show is named after the band.
God damn it. So that's it for today. Hopefully everyone has had fun listening to us just chatting about movies, as we do. As always, follow us on the Twitter, @FilmStageShow. And we can also be found online all over the place. So let's start with Danny King. Where can we find you online?
AIM.
TheFilmStage.com and Twitter.com/TheKingBulletin.
And Amanda Waltz.
I can be found on Twitter @MediaWaltz. You can also check out my blog, Steel Cinema, on WordPress. I'm actually a little more active on Letterboxd as well, which I'm also known as MediaWaltz. So if you want to check it out.
Sweet. I am also on Letterboxd, actually, Brian J. Rowan, as well as Twitter @BrianJRowan. And you can find me on DearFilm.net and The Film Stage Show. But that's it. Thank you for joining us this week, and tune in next week when we will be talking about Jurassic World.
Danny.
That movie's an experience.
Danny, what the fuck?
Why are you yelling at Danny?
Why did you put this tweet?
Isn't it funny?
In the Skype chat.
Amanda, have you seen this?
Wait, what?
I put a link to a tweet in the chat.
Oh, wait, let me see if I can get it. Is it?
It's really funny.
Oh my god, what is this? Wait, how do I pull this up? Wait, let me see if I can even pull this up. You just said LOL. All right, let me see if I can see this.
Yeah, just click
it. What? What is this?
What the fuck?
Such a studious cat.
I was about to say that cat is amazing.
I hate you both. I hate you both right now.
The cat's just like, look, sit down. Wait. We need to talk.
It looks like when you get home really late as a teenager and your mom's sitting at the table waiting for you.
It does, yeah.
That's really what it looks like. Oh my god.
Anyways, look, so you were talking about something?
What in God's name are you doing, Danny? I hate you. Are we IMing? This is AM.
Horse
line. Danny, you just do not give a shit right now.
Well, I kept looking at the cat and laughing, so I figured I'd send a picture.